1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, as the Apostle Paul is closing out this book right here. And he talks about Timothy in verse 10. Says, let no man despise him there in verse 11. Talks about Apollos in verse 12. But then he instructs the church. He says in verse 13, he says, watch it, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, and be strong. You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We love you. And Lord, we just ask you to come by for a little while tonight while we might preach. And that what we'd feel be the message for the hour. And Lord, I pray that you'd just touch us and anoint us afresh. And Lord, I pray tonight that if there's somebody here that's lost, that you'd save them. Lord, that you'd just save them, make them fit and add a fit subject in that for heaven tonight. God, I pray you'd help them to be saved. I pray that you'd speak to their hearts so tenderly and knock upon that heart's door and show them that they need to get saved, come to know you. Lord, we ask tonight that we can find some strength and some encouragement in the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you'd encourage those that might need it. And Lord, that you'd touch those that might need some help tonight. And we're looking to you for some help. Touch and anoint us afresh. And ask you to save that sinner's nearest hell for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As the Apostle Paul was closing out his book right here, and that to the church at Corinth, as he encourages them, he said to watch it. In other words, be about the Lord's business. Be watching what needs to be done and do what needs to be done. He says, stand fast in the faith. And I tell you what, we've got some that's give up in the faith today. Amen. If you look, I believe it is in 1 Timothy chapter 4, as he talks about the latter times, he said, some shall depart from the faith. If I ain't mistaken, let me see if I can find that real quick. He said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. And that's what we believe tonight, amen, on the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'd come to him and accept him as your personal Savior, he'd save you. And then what the Scripture, the rest of it, has to say. And the latter part, he said, to be strong. But in the middle of that, he said, to quit you like men and be strong. Now, that word quit, a lot of times, as we use it in our vocabulary today, means to stop what we're doing. But if you look up in Webster's 1828 dictionary, the word quit literally has more than one meaning. And right here, the meaning of the word quit means to carry through or to do or to perform something to the end. And so right here, I believe the Apostle Paul is telling the church, he said, quit you like men. Carry this thing through and see it to the very end like men. I mean, make sure the job gets done. Amen. And that's what I want to preach on tonight. Having just a thought. Now, ladies, you're going to get to take it easy tonight. I want to preach on a few good men. Now, back in the 80s, if you remember, there was a commercial that came out with a Marine Corps that, and some of you remember, they heated up that blade of steel and they showed it being beat against an anvil. And one of the things that they said at the close of that Marine Corps commercial was that we're looking for a few good men. I believe today that we need some good men in the church. Amen. I believe that we're living in a day and an age when men are coming by the wayside. At least I'm talking about being a man. I'm not talking about being a sissy. I'm not talking about a man. I'm talking about being a man. Listen, we're raising boys today and young men that don't know what it means and that to be a man. They don't know what it means to work. They don't know what it means to provide for their own. They don't know what it means to see something through to the very end. If it gets hard, they quit. I remember when I needed a job one time and a fella hired me on the job. And they sent me out on the first day on the job and put a jackhammer in my hand. I never forgot that. And I was running that jackhammer, and I mean, I had the earplugs in. I just over here. And they said it won't be but about 4 inches down in there. And then they come back and say, well, it's on a monolithic pour, and that thing gets thicker, you know, as it's poured. And I don't remember if that thing was about that deep when I got done jackhammering till I finally hit dirt and gravel down there. And as I was running that thing, I was up in Sweetwater, and I rode up there with the foreman, and I was sitting there running that thing, and I thought, I wonder how long it'd take me to walk home if I walk off the job. And I mean, I'm like this, you know. Like this right here. And I was wondering about that the whole time. And then it dawned on me, hey, I got to have a job, you see. I have a job. Need a man, you see, to do the job. We need to teach these young boys and these young men today, and that to have some guts and have some intestinal fortitude and some conviction. He said right here in the text verse, he said, quit your like men and be strong. We're raising up boys today that don't even know that they're boys. Their mom and dad's telling them, if you want to be a girl, you can be a girl today. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard of. Amen. That's right, church. You can do this, it'll be all right. Listen, the Bible talks about the effeminate in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And he said, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind. I believe that's the sodomite right there. But he talks about the effeminate, and the effeminate is having the quality of a female. A soft or delicate to an unmanly degree. Hey, it's one thing for us to be understanding as men. Hey, and I'm just going to tell you, there's a difference between a boy and a girl today. Amen. I shouldn't have to tell you that. If I have to teach you a science class tonight, we're in trouble. There's a difference between a boy and a girl. And we ought to act different. Do you know something? If you took a little girl and let her go down by the, take her to the toy store and you let her go, where's one of the first places she wants to go most of the time? She goes over and gets a baby doll, don't she? You take a boy and you run him down through there, and most of the time he goes and he wants a ball or he wants a tractor or he wants a car. Hey, I ain't making this stuff up. All you got to do is just take him to town and you'll find that stuff out. I remember my grandmother used to have a little doll that laid on her bed, and I was mesmerized by that thing, Nick. Not for the fact that it was a doll, but when you picked it up, its eyes would open, and when you laid it back down, its eyes would close. I was more mesmerized about how the eyes would work than I was about it being a doll. If I could have took that sucker apart, I would have. But I want to preach tonight on having a few good men. Ladies, you'll get to take you. I'll preach to you some other time. But we need some men tonight that are going to be physically tough, spiritually tough, and mentally tough. And we're coming into a generation where the folk don't even know what that means tonight. And the Bible said in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Life is not always going to be easy. Christianity is not always going to be easy. Church is not always going to be easy. And friend, there's going to be times you're going to get your feelings hurt. I'm going to hurt them out of this pulpit sometimes. I'm probably going to hurt them sometimes talking to you. And other people will. But we just need to grow up and go on. Amen. We just need some men today, don't we? Can I say, number one, what makes a few good men is, first of all, being saved. You need salvation. I don't believe you can be a good man without salvation. I don't believe you can be a good husband. I don't believe you can be a good dad. I believe morally you can be good. And I believe you can teach that you can, let me see how I can put this, you can love on your children right and all those things. Well, let me tell you, unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can't be a good man. The Bible says that, without the Lord Jesus, there's none of us good tonight. Take your Bible, I want you to look with me in Romans chapter 3 tonight. I want you to look with me in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, I preach this sometimes. I guess one time I preach maybe twice out of Romans chapter 3 on four Roman nuns over in Romans chapter 3. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of their way. They're all become unprofitable. And there is none that doeth good. No. Not one. And no matter how good of a man or a boy or a young man that you think you are, hey, without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not good tonight. You know the only thing that's good about me is Him tonight. His righteousness has been applied and that unto my life, and that's the only thing good about me. Well, if you want to be good tonight, you're going to have to know the Lord
as your personal Savior. Romans chapter 10, I believe it is, in verse 9, says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know what makes good daddies and good husbands? Salvation. It really does. You know what makes good boys and good little girls? Salvation. Listen, we may think that they're full of puppy dog tails and all those things. But I'm just going to tell you, there's some bad in your kids and they need to get saved. Amen. That's what needs to happen tonight. At least if you ain't never been saved, you can't be a good man. You can't be a good young man. And that without salvation, you need to get saved tonight. Can I tell you what will make a good man in his salvation? Is he'll make sure that his house has got saved. Boy, if you think about this over in Acts chapter 16, and I didn't think about this while I was studying Acts chapter 16, when that jailer come flying in there to Paul and Silas and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thine house. And you know what he done? He took them boys down there to his house and had the gospel and that preached to them. Amen. He got saved, and then he wanted to see his family get saved. Amen. You know, they tell me, and I don't know who they are, but I listen to it. They say that if you can get the man saved, there's a 93% chance you can get the rest of the family saved. Well, if daddy will get saved, if that man will get saved, listen, the rest of the family will get saved with him, amen. And he can lead in the house in salvation. Listen, as I've told you many, many times, men and ladies, I'll come to your house and lead your children to the Lord. I'll do it right down here. But I'm going to tell you something tonight, men, you ought to be able to do that and that for your own children, amen. You ought to be able to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I know sometimes folk want to talk to the preacher and they want to see the preacher and I understand that. And I know sometimes you want to make sure that your kids got it right and all those things and you want the preacher to come by and that's fine. I have no problem with that. But you ought to be able to lead your children and that to the Lord. You ought to be able to lead your co-workers to the Lord. You ought to be able to tell them about what it means and that to be saved. You ought to be able to lead your family and that in devotions tonight. You ought to be able to sit down at your dinner table and have your kids come gather around and have mama and your wife come gather around there and be able to lead and that in devotions. I ain't saying God made you a preacher, but I know tonight, friend, you ought to be able to crack your book open because there's enough in you of God because you're saved, and you at least ought to be able to tell them about what Jesus done for you. I believe tonight, to be a good man, you got to have the Lord Jesus Christ on the inside. We need some good men that's got him on the inside that'll see to their neighbors. Amen. I think it's our responsibility to say to our neighbors. Do you know that? What was it that one come out there and asked the Lord, who then is my neighbor? And tells him the story about the one that was on the road to Jericho that fell among thieves, and they stripped him and stripped him and left him for half dead. And the Bible says that priests come by and looked at him and walked by on the other side. Some Levi come by and looked at him and walked by on the other side. Religion will leave you that way. Amen. I ain't talking about being a Baptist. I ain't talking about having religion. I'm talking about having salvation in your heart. And boy, there come that Samaritan. And you know what he done? The Bible said when he came to where he was and he saw him, the Bible said that he had compassion on him. I took him up out of the ditch, put him on his own beast. Put oil and wine. I wrapped up his wounds, took him there to the inn. I kept him overnight and gave money and that to the innkeeper. And said, if I owe you more when I come, I'll pay it. Amen. Sometimes it'll cost us to be a good man. It'll cost you physically. It'll cost you pocketbooks, what I'm trying to say. Because you'll see your neighbor in need. You say, preacher, I ain't got a lot. God didn't say give a lot. He said, if you can fulfill that need, fulfill that need. I'm just talking about, I'm just preaching about being a good man. He's got salvation in his heart, and that changes him. But then number two, a good man will be versed in, now you can't be versed in the scriptures until you get saved. So, preacher, do you want me to be a walking encyclopedia? No, but I think you ought to read your Bible. We're raising generations that don't even read their Bible. The Bible's not even read in their house until Sunday comes. They pick it up, knock the dust off of it, or take it out of the back seat and bring it into church house, and it's never been cracked open down through the week. You need to teach. Hey, you need to take control of devotions in your house. Even if it's just for 15 minutes. You say, I don't know much about the Bible. Then read. Read. Learn. Start with something you do know. Go over there and start with David and Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17, where he defeats Goliath. Go over there in Daniel chapter 3, where the three Hebrew children and that depend on God to get them out of the fiery furnace, and God does. Go over there in Daniel 6, when Daniel ends up in the den of lions over there, and God delivers again. Start with what you know, not with what you don't know. And then learn. Now I'm talking to some men now tonight. Boy, it's getting good, ain't it? But we're raising boys and young men that they don't know anything about the Scripture. They know everything about sports. Tell you who's on what basketball team. Who scored what last night. Who's got the best batting average. Who caught how many passes this past week in football. But if you ask them anything about Scripture, they don't know nothing. Why? They've never been trained. Some of that falls on Sunday school teachers, but most of it falls at home. As I tell you, we're only here for 2.5 hours on Sunday morning, 1.5 hours on Sunday night, 1 hour and 10 minutes on Wednesday night. That's it. That's all we're here. Hey, it's up to you daddies and your mamas, and I know I'm preaching on daddy tonight, hey, but to make sure that Scripture is taken care of, you know what's going to help you? This book right here. Well, if I could just get myself sometimes in that to believe that. Hey, I'm telling you right now, young people, just lay down the video games, lay down everything else, and spend some time in God's Word and read it and pray and say, God, give me something out of this book. I need something out of this book. And God will do it. Amen. Take your Bible and look with me in 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 2. How am I doing tonight? Am I doing okay? I'll take that, I guess. You start preaching on how folk ought to live, and that ain't an exciting time. 1 Kings chapter 2. I want you to look in verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. David's fixing to go and be with the Lord. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a what? A man. He said, I'm fixing to leave. And he says, you show yourself strong and show yourself a man. And he said, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in the way in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies. And it is written in the law of Moses that thou may prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. You know what you need to teach your children, men, is that if they would fall in love with God, fall in love with the Word of God, they'll prosper in what they're doing for him. Amen. Hey, listen, if we would take the Word of God and that and apply it to our life, we'll prosper. Prosper. Don't you want to prosper? Now, I'm not talking about health and wealth and all these things, but I'm talking about prospering spiritually. I'm talking about prospering how that God would bless us if we would just take this book and live by it. I think we need some men that's going to be versed in the Scripture so that they can draw their standards and their convictions from it. What convinces you of the truth tonight? Where do you get your standards? Where do you get your convictions at? Why do we believe that it's wrong for men? Now this Brother Tom brought this out the other day. Why do we believe that it's wrong and that for men and that to be able to go into the restroom of the ladies' restroom over at Wild Ridge? Why do we think it's wrong? He said, well, that's only common sense. Well, I'll give you that. Amen. The world ain't got no common sense, though, do they? But if we would read the Scripture, you would find out about being an effeminate, you see. About being girlish. Men ought not to be womanish. Men ought to be men, shouldn't they? Or look like men. Or to act like men. Or to just be a man.
Hey, listen, let me ask you this right here. What convinces you of the truth of why you're going to live separated and how you're going to live separated? What convinces you of that, man? Why do you want your family and your home to be separated out of the world? Why are you careful about what you let your kids watch on TV if you let them watch it at all? And I wouldn't blame you if you didn't. There ain't much punking on there. Amen. Me and my wife, we watch stuff that we grew up with. And stuff that probably her mom and daddy grew up with. We got to where we even like the Donna Reed show. You don't even know what I'm talking about, do you? It's in black and white. Do you even know what black and white is? Oh, he says you're old. How we got to where we watched the Donna Reed show. And some of y'all, you know, when I tell my daddy that, he said, son, boy, you really ain't got much to watch, do you? There ain't nothing. But listen, I want my home to be separated out of the world. Don't want none of the world coming into it. And you know how it comes in a lot of times? And I know y'all hate this, but we let it come in through that one-eyed monster that sits over in the corner over there, and we'll let things come in on that TV that we'd never let anything come in any other way like that. We wouldn't dare let somebody come in and bring all that profanity and bring all that cursing and sit down in our house and do that. But yet, if we ain't careful, we'll turn that thing on and we'll let it play. And there it is. We wouldn't let somebody come in our home and commit adultery. But yet, we let it come in on the TV and on the movie screen. And we watch it, don't we? Hello? But we wouldn't let nobody do that in our house. Preacher, it ain't the same. It might as well be. We're sitting there and we're watching it and we're condoning it just like everything's okay. Boy, it's getting good. Where you draw your convictions at? 1 John chapter 2 talks about how that we're not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world, because if we do, the love of the Father is not in us. Romans 12 said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen, what the Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians 6, where he says, come out and be separate, saith the Lord. Somebody's going to stand accountable at the judgment seat of Christ for the things that happen in your home. You realize that? Somebody's going to stand accountable. I'm going to stand accountable for what I let come into my house. Where you draw your convictions at? Draw your convictions from the Word of God. We need some men that's got some convictions and standards. Well, my kids won't like it or my wife won't like it. It'll be all right. They'll get over it. Get some intestinal fortitude, and this is the way it's going to be. You say it's going to cause me a divorce. Start praying. I hope it don't cause you a divorce. Ladies, if you're that sorry tonight that your husband, listen to me now, if you're that sorry tonight that your husband wants your house to be separated and that from the world, and you're going to walk off and leave him, you're sorry tonight. Boy, it's quiet. And I'm not even trying to be mean. Why are you faithful to church? Where do you draw your convictions on faithfulness to church? Men, you ought to be the leader in your home tonight. Well, you ought to be the first one to get up and get ready to go to church. Or to be ready and apt to go. Or there shouldn't even be a question. Your youngin' shouldn't even get up on Sunday morning or on Saturday night and say, where are we going in the morning? They ought to just know. That's the kind of house I grew up in. The kind of house that my wife grew up in. Why come Sunday, we didn't talk about where we were going to go. Well, Mother got up, and just about every Sunday morning, she fixed pancakes and bacon. I remember that. I wish my wife would get up and fix pancakes and bacon. Amen. You thought I'd be fatter now than I already am. Amen. Huh? We got to have some levity in this thing tonight somehow, man. Are y'all going to feel beat down if we ain't careful? I ought to have a little fun. But why are you faithful to church tonight? Where are you drawing your convictions on that? I drew my convictions on that when I was a boy because that was my mom and daddy's convictions. But you know, after a while, well, when I was about 16, I was making my own decisions when I was about 16 about where I was going to go to church at, and that was my convictions.
My mom and daddy didn't have to worry about me going to church. They didn't have to wonder if I was going to go. I got up, got myself ready. I'd take my tie in there, and sometimes I'd take my shirt in there. I'd say, Mama, can you press this for me? And you know, finally she got tired and said, let me show you how to do this. She would press it, put it in the closet, and then I'd bring it to her come Sunday morning and say, can you press it? I always like that thing to be pressed. Hey, but listen, I've been drawing my own convictions and that out of the Word of God because I knew it's right. Hey, there's something different on the inside of me because of my salvation. That made me draw all my convictions out of this book. I remember after I got saved, there's some things changed. I'll never forget that. There's some things changed. What makes you flee from sin? Huh? Where are you going to draw that from? From Scripture. Why do you believe the Word of God? Why do you believe the King James Bible? I mean, we can just go on and on and on. But it's in this book that you'll find guidance. Meaning you need to read the Bible. Like I say, you don't have to be a walking encyclopedia of it, but you do need to spend some time in it. You need to, whether it's in the morning or in the evening, at dinner time, wherever you can fit it in. I know you're busy. I know you're working. I know you're raising a family. I understand that. But if we can't find a little time and act for the Lord each day to pray and read your Bible, we're in trouble. That's why we got boys that sissies and boys that ain't trained in the Word of God and boys that I don't know what it means to be a man. You say, well, what does knowing the Word of God going to have anything with them about being a man? Hey, it'll teach them how to be strong. It'll teach them how to stand on their own two feet. I've been out of my mom and dad's house since I was 19 years old. I know some of you have too, and probably even younger than that, and been gone. But hey, listen, I know that folk has helped us along the way, but I'm going to be honest with you. At 19 years old, me and Kelly got married, and we was on our own. I don't know if she'd do it over again, but I would. I like being married. I always have. But this book, it'll guide you. How else are you going to teach your children without the Word of God? Take your Bible and go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Boy, I'm glad we're about done this part. To wire me and you both out. Talk about being a man. You need to be saved, then you need to be versed in the Scriptures. Deuteronomy 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon thy post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digs which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. What's that got to do with anything? Now the Lord wanted them to instruct their children, wanted that given, and wanted it in their heart, wanted it in their children's heart, so when God blessed them and got them over in the promised land, they wouldn't forget God. But you know why you need to give your children, but boys and girls, young men and young ladies, the Word of God? Because there's coming a day that they're going to leave your house. I've got a buddy of mine right now. He's raising three young'uns. The oldest one's 17, or she'll turn 17. I guess she is 17. She's 17 this month, and that oldest is probably 10, or the youngest is probably 10 or 11, and there's another girl in between all that, and I've talked to him about that, and he says, all I know is to raise her right, and so when I turn her loose, she'll know what right is. I thought, boy, that is the smartest thing I've ever heard of in my life. He was a genius. Just raise them right, give them the Word of God, and then God can guide them if they'll just follow her. David said in Psalms 27, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. We need the Word of God. You need the Word of God in your life, men. You say, well, that's just fairy tales. And although you need to get saved if you believe it's just fairy tales. Amen. You say, well, my daddy, I don't care what your daddy does. I'm telling you what you need to do. I don't care what mama and papa done.
You need the Word of God in your life. That's what's going to make you a good man, is this Word of God. Then we need some men that will provide for his own. When you get old enough, you need a job. Amen. You know what we've done? We've not made young men go to work, have we? We've let them play video games all day and all night, and we've not taught them nothing. We've not given them a skill. We've not given them a trade. We've not made them push the lawnmower. We've not even let them ride. Hey, man, I've been mowing the yard since I was 8 years old. Daddy used to hold me when I was just a little bitty feller, and he would ride. I'm not saying this was the smartest thing in the world, but he'd hold me, and I'd fall asleep on his shoulder while he was mowing the yard, riding the lawnmower. I grew up living in the back of the patch. I grew up in the hayfield. We knew how to work and what it meant to work. Now, would I want to do that again? No, I wouldn't want to do it again. I mean, I'm not in any shape to do that at all right now. I told somebody the other day, I kind of miss it. I kind of miss working in the back of the patch, but after about a half a row, I'd be done. I do. I loved it. I'll be honest with you. I loved it. We'd start cutting in the morning and work till about dinner time. And then, boy, if it was real hot, I mean, where it was going to be 100 degrees, we'd quit. And about 6 o'clock, we'd come back and we'd work till we couldn't see no more. That's how we worked. And boy, when I worked for Eddie McCoss, man, Eddie had 4 acres of backer in one patch, but he only had like 12 rows. Now, if you've got 4 acres and all you got's like 12 rows, you can imagine how long them rows are going to be. He had a few more than 12 rows. Don't misunderstand me. But we ain't teaching them how to go to work. You don't know why? Some of these young men ain't even went to work theirselves. Hey, listen, the Bible talks about 1 Timothy chapter 5, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. If you can go to work and you won't go to work, the Lord said over here that you're worse than an unbeliever. You're worse than an infidel. Somebody that won't even take care of their own, you've denied the faith. Hey, the Bible said in Proverbs 20 that the sluggard will not plow by the reason of cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Take your Bible and go to the book of Proverbs 6. Look with me in Proverbs 6. Talking about a man. We need a few good men. Now I'm glad. I'm glad that... Listen, I can remember in the house that I grew up in, my daddy didn't talk a whole lot about going to work. He just got up and went to work. Now, that's how I learned how to work. He just got up and went every day. I mean, he very seldom called in. He very seldom took a vacation day. He very seldom was sick. I've seen him go in when he was sick. I mean, that's how I learned to work. It was by example. You understand what I'm saying? And if we look in Proverbs chapter 6, I want you to look in verse 6. Proverbs 6, verse 6 says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy womb as an armed man." He said, go look at the ant. He said, the ant don't even, said she don't even have a guide, an overseer, or a ruler, but yet she takes care of what needs to be took care of. There's nobody driving her to go. There's nobody in that making her do her job. She's just doing it because it's instilled in her, and that's her job. You know what ought to be instilled in us tonight, men? Provide for our own. I've done work that I didn't want to do, but I needed to make money. I had bills that had to be paid. And I didn't want to do it, but I done it. You go dig up a septic tank and go dig a root out of it. Come going down and see if you want to go do that. Had bills to pay. I'm just telling you, we're teaching young men and boys to be lazy because we're not teaching them to work. Or to teach them with some post-hole diggers in their hands. Oh, you might give my baby a blister. Give him a glove. Amen. Give him a set of gloves. Well, these boys around here, I mean, Listen, every one of these young men around here ought to know how to use a set of post hole diggers. Ought to know. And you ought to give them a set of dull ones on top of that, that the end's been rolled up on. And they sit out there and just hammer away. Things are broke. They won't work, man. Give them a hoe and send them down there to the garden. Listen, my grandmother used to take us down out of the garden. And like I say, she found out real quick, don't tell me to pull up Johnson grass. Because I'm pulling up the Johnson grass and the corn with it. I couldn't tell the difference between Johnson grass and corn when it was coming up. And Lord, I always hated when she'd say, get them morning glories over there. Because they just growed forever and ever and ever. But you know what they were teaching us to do? How to work. Now, they loved us to go down there and help them. There's no doubt about that. But you know what they were teaching? How to work. We need some men that know how to work. We need some men that will provide for his home because he'll go to work. We need some men that will provide a good home for their family. I didn't say a rich home. I didn't say an expensive home. I didn't say an extravagant home. I said a good home. A loving home. A place where mama don't have to worry about things. She's took care of. A place where the wife is loved and not beat down or beat on or mentally or physically. A place where the children are loved. He said, preacher, you tell us to have intestinal fortitude, but now you're telling us to love. That's the thing about being a man. You've got to be all that. See, you got to be strong, but then you got to be able to get down there in the floor when them young'uns scrape their knees and scrape their hands and just love on them, you know. That's the thing about being a man. I know mama loves on them and kisses on them and they want mama to do that. But daddies, we got to be so kind and loving is that we can do that ourselves. Need a protected home. I'm talking about providing now. Need to provide a protected home, a place where sin is kept out and a place where you'll fight if it needs be. You show me daddy won't fight for their kids, I'll show you a sorry man. You show me a man that won't fight for his wife, I'll show you a sorry man. I didn't say I'd win, but I'd try. You'll have to kill me. Preacher, you're just running off at the mouth. No, I'm trying to tell you what it means to be a man. We need some men. We've got enough sissies. We've got young men that's never grown up. And I mean, that's 30 and 35 years old and still living at home. Hey, get a job, man. Teach these young boys and young men what it means to work. Teach them and that what it means to be loved. That way, when they find a young lady in that to marry, they'll know how to love on her. They'll know how to respect her. And they'll know how to treat her. And by the way, girls, if you don't want a young man to respect you, shame on you. Amen. You're to demand that out of him. To respect you and your virtue. A disciplined home. One where there's correction and there's discipline. I'm talking about provision right now. There ought to be discipline and that provided in the home. Daddy, you may have to make sure that gets done. The Bible said that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Proverbs 13 says, but he that loveth him chasteneth betimes. You don't have to beat on them all the time. But I'll tell you this, there's times that they need correction, and there's times that they do need a whooping. Amen. I know that ain't popular, that's for sure. The Bible said in Proverbs 29 that the rod of reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You let a child go without any correction at all, they're going to bring shame to you. A man that knows how to provide for his home. I don't know daddy ever remember what, I only remember him whooping me one time, and I was just a little fella. Now mama would beat the fool out of us. I was telling them at the nursing home, that's where I was. I said, Mama used to whoop us a lot. And I'll be honest with you, she probably didn't whoop us near enough. It's what we needed. Amen. But Daddy didn't have to whoop us. He had something about him that he'd snap his fingers and look at you, and you straightened right up. Because you knew if you didn't. See, I could size Mama and get away with it. But now you never did backtalk Daddy. I'm just telling you how it is. I'm telling you how it was, how I grew up. How I learned to be a man was by watching him. How do you think you're going to teach these young men and these boys around here to be a man? You can tell them all day long, but you're going to have to show them. We need some men. It's a little comical, the situation that our nation is in and that the church is in, because there's no men. This needs some men. Needs some men that has a disciplined home. But then number four, and last of all, thank God we're on the last one. And we come back to this part right here, but some men that are willing to fight. I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of Nehemiah. I want you to look in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. We've moved to more tonight than we have in a long time. But I want you to look in Nehemiah. I preach out of the scripture sometimes on some things worthy of a good fight. I want you to look in verse 14. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 14. They're building the wall in Jerusalem. Building the wall. And in verse 14, the Bible said, "And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them." I'm talking about the enemy. Said, "Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives, and your houses." I think we need some men tonight that'd be willing to fight. I don't mean not one that's looking for one, but I mean that if it came, you're as willing to fight. I mean fight for your family. I mean, I'll just get it down to the nitty gritty tonight. I believe you ought to be able to fight or want to fight for them physically. If somebody come in your house tonight and broke in while you was there, you ought to fight with all your might and that to protect your wife and your children. Amen. And your grandchildren. You say, "Preacher, boy, I'd hate to have to do it." I'd hate to have to do it too. But there ought to be something instilled in you and that you'd be willing to do it. Amen. Amen. There ought to be something there. Hey, I've told you this before, but I'll say it again. Hey, listen, my wife don't care. She'll go up there. She'll go upstairs, get in her bedroom. She'll lay down. She'll go to sleep. And it don't matter what kind of racket the house makes or what happens, she sleeps right on. I hear one crack, I'm wide awake. Am I reaching for the revolver or for the semi? I mean, which one am I going to reach for? You know. I mean, they're both right here. But see, she don't have to worry about that. Why? I'm going to take care of it. Whatever it is, I'll take care of it. Nehemiah said, "Look," said, "you need to go fight for your wife. You need to fight for your sons and for your daughter." Hey, listen, he said, "Fight for your houses." And he said, "Fight for your brethren." Hey, not only that, but you ought to not only want to fight for your family physically, you ought to fight for them spiritually. You ought to find yourself a place, whether it's outside in the shed, whether it's in the woodshed, whether it's in the barn, whether it's out back, whether it's in your vehicle, whether it's in the garage. You ought to find yourself, whether it's in the bedroom, wherever it is, you ought to find yourself a place to kneel down and begin to seek God and beg Him on behalf of your family and that to save them and help them spiritually. You ought to fight for them. Hey, your children's facing a lot more than you ever did face. Listen at me now. You'll be willing to fight for this church. You'll be willing to fight for what you believe in. You know, David in 1 Samuel chapter 17, he comes over there, and boy, and I tell you, he's looking at what Goliath has done, and how he has, boy, brought shame and that to the nation of Israel. They're all running and hiding. There wasn't a man nowhere. And that was willing to go out there and fight Goliath. And boy, I mean, he's a talking big. David's a talking big. And his oldest brother couldn't handle it. I mean, even his oldest brother been running and hiding and that from Goliath. And here stands David, his youngest brother. And boy, he's out here running off at the mouth, his oldest brother thought. And David said, "What have I done?" He said, "Is there not cause?" And there's an 18-year-old boy that went out there with a shepherd's staff and a shepherd's sling and a shepherd's bag on his side. And as a youth, the Bible called him a youth and called Goliath a man of war from his youth. And David goes out there and faces him and whoops him, by the way. just a man. The man's not looking for, the Lord's not looking for a sissy, but he's looking for a man. Ezekiel chapter 22, and I sought for a man. Now here was a verse that my preacher read, my pastor read the morning that I announced my call to preach. I'll never forget it. In Ezekiel 22, listen at me now. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. But I found none. He said, I couldn't find a man. Couldn't find a man. Boys will be boys, but there comes a time for them to grow up. And while they're growing, you got to teach them to be a man. Be a man spiritually. Be a man physically. I think we do need to teach them to be tough. I do believe that. I think we need to be tough. Hey, listen, there's something lost on and here is one thing that folk that sometimes gets me in trouble. I just believe in being blunt. That way, I like it when folk are blunt. Not ugly blunt, but I'm just saying blunt. I like it when folk are blunt with me. That way, I don't have to wonder what they're thinking. I don't have to wonder about, well, what do they really mean? They just come out and say it. I'm talking about being ugly. I ain't talking about being mean. I'm just talking about saying what's on your mind. I think we just need some men. Don't you, church? Hey, listen at me. You know what is a shame? You know what's a shame? And I guess in one aspect it's a shame. That there'd have been a lot of churches closed their doors had it not been for women. Ain't that a shame tonight? It's Evelyn, it's you and Miss Partain, wasn't it? And the preacher. That's where it got to one time. I think we just need some men. Boys, you need to be men. You need to grow up. Daddies, you need to teach your boys to be men. Mamas, you need to let daddies teach your boys to be men. Well, he's going to make it. You need to let him teach you. Let's bow our heads tonight. All right, let's get the verse of invitation if we will. I don't know what you're going to do with that. Well, listen, if God spoke to your heart tonight, I want you to come pray. Maybe you need to come draw close to the Lord. Maybe you need some help tonight. Maybe you need some help in that being the man that you need to be. Maybe you've not been studying like you should, reading like you should, guiding your home like you should. Hey, God's going to hold you accountable. Listen to me now. Listen to me. I ain't been just trying to run off at the mouth tonight. We need some men. I mean some men that's going to do their job. Going to do their job. Would you be found faithful to do your job? Be willing to fight when fighting's needed. To be the man that you need to be. Love your wife like you should. Husbands, love your wives even if Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Are you saved tonight? Do you know that you're going to heaven? You can't be a good man without the Lord Jesus Christ living on the inside. If you need to come,